Hi, this is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA Edgewise. On today's program, we're going to hand the microphone over to co-producer and chief marketing strategist for our digital media team, Doug Sohn. Doug, why don't you take it away?
Bob Cullen is president, CEO, and founder of Business Improv, an innovative consultancy that specializes in experiential learning and serves an international roster of blue chip firms. He's also an adjunct professor at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business and Columbia Business School. A performer with over 20 years of stage credits, he has trained with a long list of legendary talents, including Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. His work has been featured by such outlets as CNN, Entrepreneur, Fast Company, The Financial Times, Slate, and The Wall Street Journal. He's author of Getting to Yes And, The Art of Business Improv. Okay, so improv doesn't have to be about telling jokes, correct? I mean, is it just about the humor, or what else is there?
You know, there are so many different types of improvisation. The humor that most people associate toward improvisation is in the context of comedy, of course, or entertainment by extension. If you start getting into Christopher Guest movies, which have a little bit of drama and a little bit of comedy, a lot of that's improvised. In truth, though, that which is comedy for the comedic improvisation is not going to be deployed in first responders or EMTs,
obviously,
firefighters, chefs, for example, who have to improvise, or in our case, business people who on a regular basis have to improvise all the time. So it's a matter of how you employ that improvisation that would bring the comedy.
And so in an organization, like you mentioned, EMTs that are very structured and rigid, how does improv work in that environment? And is it a challenge to bring that into such an environment?
It's not, because improvisation on its own actually operates within structure. So you have to maintain the parameters and operate successfully inside of those, or in our cases, towards strategy. So you learn specific tools and techniques as foundational blocks on which you can build. And that then complements and otherwise buttresses or supports other skill sets, like for EMTs or first responders that need to be comfortable with the situation, crowd control, medicine, of course, and direction in any management or leadership capacity.
So is the improv, is it mostly used in training? Is it a set of exercises, or is it something that's like ongoing?
The way that we use improvisation in my company, Business Improv, is actually as a set of exercises that then turn into tools and techniques which should be employed ongoing. Because like anything else, if you stop practicing something, you're not going to be as good as somebody who does practice. So think back to any skill set you had growing up, whether it's playing an instrument or sports or whatever it might be. It's not quite the same if you don't continue to practice it on a regular basis, even if you might still have some kind of muscle memory attached to it. You're not at the same level as those who practice it, rehearse it, and employ it every day.
And I guess improv also brings in this element of the unknown. And that would seem to me to be the key thing. Like, you're running through an exercise where there's a sense of unknown, so then you're learning how to either face something new or solve a problem. Is that like the key benefit or one of the key benefits?
It's one of many key benefits, actually. So this operation within the unknown relates to a military term in business improv that we use quite often, which is VUCA. V-U-C-A, and this acronym comes from the Army, and it stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And improvisers by nature end up thriving in these types of environments where there's a lot of X variables, we're missing pieces, and it's our job to put them back together again in a very logical way to make sense in an overall strategy, in our case, of course, a show, or no matter how you employ them. It's that type of comfort then that allows you to not only do it on an individual basis, it allows you to collaborate with other people and do it as a team.
Yeah, you mentioned teams. Is this something that's like better in a small team work environment, or is it like an organizational? And then if it's in an organizational setting, do we deploy it by teams? It's not something that like we do in the company meeting. That's not really the application here?
Well, that's Incorrect and correct, because in truth, great improvisation can be employed anywhere. You can deploy it anywhere. You can use it virtually in any place, anytime, with anyone. And that's also part of the yes and mentality. So in my book, Getting to Yes And, we actually cover an arc, which I think hits directly your question. We start with personal development. What can you do for yourself? And this could relate toward personal creativity, how you collaborate with other people, how you communicate to other people. And as you continue to grow in rank and status inside an organization, how do you lead other people? How do you influence other people? How do you actually deal with emotional intelligence or mindfulness, for example? And right. All of this is using, most specifically for us, yes and over and over again.
Yeah. How does yes and work?
Sure. So yes and works in a number of different ways. In its most classic definition, yes is unconditional acceptance. You give me this gift, this offer, this opportunity. You accept this at face value. And then is the bridge to what you do with it. So in comedic improvisation, the definition of yes is unconditional acceptance, and is building directly upon this offer that was given to you. As you twist this definition a little bit so it's more applicable in business, yes is still unconditional acceptance. You accept this thing at face value, and then is the bridge to your intelligence, and is the bridge to your reaction, and is the bridge to your passion, your background, your education. As it links to mindfulness, yes is thoughtfulness, and is the bridge to how you're thoughtful. And so one of the things that most people slip into when trying to grapple with the definition of improvisation, most specifically, yes and, is that yes and means that you actually execute every idea that's brought to you. I don't have time to take bad ideas and do something with them. That is not accurate, though. Yes is thoughtfulness, meaning before I judge you, before I shoot your idea down, before I tell you why this won't work, I'm going to take time to consider it. And this is going to be my thought process and my communication and the way that I make the decision whether or not we're going to use this idea or not use this idea. And in doing so, the simple use of yes and then strengthens a relationship with those people around you who are bringing you ideas and communicating with you.
What would be like some first steps for managers who are listening to this program besides buying the book? Obviously, they want to buy the book. But, you know, what are the first steps to implement improv within a team? Are there like some first things you got
to
do?
Sure. And I think it's important actually to go back to your prior question one or two ago, which is it starts with yourself. Okay. What can you do for yourself? And then after personal development, you take care of interpersonal development, the one or two people around you. And then from there, yes and specifically in the way that we use it, can go into team development. And once you've taken care of yourself and the one or two people around you, and then you move into team development, you start creating culture so that new people who come into the organization know how to behave with a specific set of rules and language and rituals, accountability practices. So now going back to this question, what can you really do? Well, first, focus on your behavior. How are you influencing the people around you? Are you in the right mindset? In Getting to Yes And, you'll see that we define energy manipulation as being a choice. Most specifically, energy and attitude are choices. And I'll define it this way. Most people pay more attention to the weather on a daily basis than their own energy and attitude. So if we just take 1 or 2 minutes, the same amount of time that we would the weather, and put it inward and say, okay, where's my energy today? What is my attitude like today? Then we can actually redirect our own energy and attitude so that when we enter meetings, for example, we now are in the position to contribute in a meaningful way. And that could be contributing ideas or leading the meeting. That could also mean fostering talent, getting some of those people who might be a little bit more one side of the brain versus the other side of the brain to talk a little bit more, and those who might be a little bit gregarious, not to steamroll people who are intelligent and just don't communicate at the same pace or energy as other people. So right away, just by taking care of ourselves, we can start to have an impact on the larger group.
So it has a piece of emotional intelligence as well.
Absolutely, yes, because what we're talking about is presence. Whether you are improvising on stage, which is a great demonstration of improvisation, or in real life in any capacity, you need to be present and focused in the moment at a very high level, not drifting off into stories or your laundry list of things that you need to do. You have to be engaged. And that single act then leads to emotional intelligence, because you could be aware of your own behavior in that spirit of mindfulness, or in business improv, what we call a self-audit. that okay. ability just to check yourself in real time so that you're confident in the way that you're influencing the person across from you or people around you. Because really what we talk about, what we should talk about as well, is that the human brain is incredibly powerful, right? And so what we're talking about is taking a part of its energy and redirecting it.
And like you had mentioned, the whole thing about the gregarious people.
Yes.
And then the introverts. And we have a lot of training here that's sort of about, for the gregarious, for the extroverts, understanding what the introvert needs are, and for the introverts, understanding what the extroverts need, so that then they can work together better. And if you're a manager, how do you get these two groups, you know, to not kill each other?
Absolutely.
At a baseline. But I think what I'll go into next kind of question is, what are some first steps if someone wants to become a business improviser?
First steps are understanding. Understanding of the foundational rules of improvisation so that you know actually what you're going to be doing. And then understanding of who you are. Do a proper 360 or self-audit, self-assessment, internal and external, to get other people to give you proper feedback. And then from these two bases of knowledge, you start building out. And what I always go to is that old joke, what's the best way to eat an elephant?
Right.
One bite at a time, right? Okay. So it's just development. It's not saying, oh, I really want to switch tomorrow and be this other person. It's saying, okay, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And how can I improve? And so just learning how, for example, to use yes and on a personal basis. Now, a lot of people think yes and is all collaborative. However, anybody who's ever created anything, whether it is on the more creative side, a book, a proposal, a tagline, a jingle, some kind of commercial, viral video, whatever it is, or on the more business side, a proposal, a strategy, how to operate within a strategy, new regulations, how to grapple with this, how to communicate, how to troubleshoot. You have to really learn how to postpone judgment. And this is where yes and comes into play. So if you go back to the 1960s, and I think it's J.P. Guilford created this model of divergent thinking versus convergent thinking. The divergent thinking is the blow it up, exploration, let's make a mess. And that's celebrated widely in business as it relates to brainstorming, and certainly where improvisation comes into play. What most people don't actually start to do is the convergent side. And that's where that judgment comes into play. This is where you have to edit the ideas, clean up your mess until you converge to a single point on the outside of this. So if you look at this on an individual basis, what can I do for myself? Learn how to postpone judgment. Use yes and to say, I'm going to unleash this potential of the human brain, and I'm going to put it on paper, I'm going to put it into this project, and I'm going to take 15 minutes and just fail early, fail often, try to create momentum. Momentum is everything when it comes to creativity and collaboration. I shouldn't say it's everything. It's a good part of it, though. It's physics, right? It's easier to keep that ball rolling than it is to stop the ball and start it again and stop the ball and start it again. So really just looking at that momentum for yourself. Can you put that into place just so you can actually create? And then at the end of 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 5 minutes, 45, an hour, however long that divergent, I just have to get this out of my head period of time takes, then take a breath, go into convergent. Then you start cleaning it up, and still in the spirit of yes and, you operate looking at potential and possibility as you still sort out the stuff that's workable, usable, within budget, within the parameters, the
iterations.
Right, yeah. And then you go bounce back and forth to between the divergent side and the convergent side thoughtfully, once again, still on an individual basis. And this is where I think a lot of people misdirect improvisation, that it's so external that you can't do anything for yourself. It has to start with yourself. And there's a lot of very simple things that we can do on a daily basis to really create that skill set. And that's what we're talking about. Practice through repetition creates muscle memory. And once you have that muscle memory in place, then you can use it as a tool and technique at any given time without putting conscious thought behind it, right?
Yep.
It's that unconscious competence that you've done it so many times that now you're just a master of it. And then you can truly help other people because you're leading by example.
Which brings me to example. Let's bring it to the concrete. Do you have an example of where this has worked, or a company or setting situation where this has been brought into an organization and how that's worked?
Absolutely. I would say let's close our eyes, spin around a circle, put a bunch of industries on a dartboard and throw a dart at it. And I'll tell you a story of that specific industry. And it ranges anywhere from pharmaceutical and mergers and acquisitions and sales to, of course, consultants, because consultants have to improvise all the time based on client needs, right? And then you can get into some surprising ones. The spaceship company, which is Richard Branson's, you know, he has Virgin Galactic, and then he has the company that actually makes the aircraft. So Virgin Galactic is the brand, and then the spaceship company makes the rockets and spaceships. And we worked with their top 25 scientists on collaboration and communication between departments. We worked with government agencies, some three-letter ones that I can't mention, as well as 60 of the top state U.S. senators from all parties, including, you know, Republican, Democrat, and and Tea Party, and then, of course, everyone who seems to follow them around. And we worked on them on collaboration techniques. We've worked with a lot of great organizations dealing with change and adaptability, adaptive problem solving. It ranges anywhere from sports to pharmaceutical to sales to consultants to design companies. Doctors, you know, the UCLA radiology department has gone through our training. So it really is an art form that, when applied to business, can be used by anybody.
We've been speaking to Bob Cullen, author of Getting to Yes And, The Art of Business Improv. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For insightful articles and sage business advice, read AMA Playbook, a daily blog featuring articles focused on key management and leadership issues. AMA Playbook features wise contributions from dozens of thought leaders. Visit the blog now at playbook.amanet.org. Feedback very seriously here at the AMA. If you get a minute, you have some thoughts about this program or additional questions, just send an email to us at podcasts@amanet.org.